الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
صف سيدي فرمائي الله أكبر سبحانك الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الحمد لله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله على سيدنا في الدنيا حسنة. يا حي يا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my master Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam upon us that we have the honor of sitting in the masjid and listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. One day, a group of disbelievers came to my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and asked my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam that, O Muhammad, describe your Lord to us. And in another narration, they said, what is your Lord made of? And they said, describe the family tree of your Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah, Suratul Ikhlas. Now there's a difference of opinion amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Ulama as to who were this group of disbelievers. One group of scholars and Sahaba say that it was the Mushrikeen of Makkah. And so according to this opinion, this surah was revealed in Makkah, in the Meccan period, and so is a Makki surah. And according to another group of Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, including Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, and a group of scholars, the disbelievers that came to my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were the Jews of Medina. And so according to the second group, this surah is a Madani surah being revealed in the Madani period. However, it is possible that both are true and that the Suratul Ikhlas was revealed in Makkah, and at another occasion, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was approached by a group of Jews in Madinatul Munawwara. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Moving on to the actual surah. Qul huwallahu ahad. The ulama write in the first word, as mentioned before in a previous lecture, that the word kul here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the ummah and to tell the people and to tell the Muslim nation. And so in this word kul, there is evidence of the nabuwah and the prophethood of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. As mentioned before, there are a group of people, disbelievers, who claim that there's no such thing as, na'udhu billah, there's no such thing as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we do not need him, na'udhu billah, and that we only need the Quran. And so this is one of the many evidences against this claim. Indeed, we do need Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without the treasure of ahadith, we would not understand the Quran. There are so many details of our Sharia and our religion which are not mentioned in the Holy Quran. For example, the number of rakats of Salah and how to pray the Salah, in which order to pray the Salah in. This is not mentioned in the Quran. This is explained in the treasure of ahadith. And so these things work together. It is not a case that we can only depend on the Holy Quran. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say that Allah is one. The ulama write under the name of Allah here that the question from the disbelievers was, describe your Lord to us. And so the ulama write that Allah is the name of that being who has three things. Number one, he possesses all of the good qualities in existence. Every single point of excellency that is in existence is possessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, Allah azza wa jal is free from all defects. And number three, and this is a point that's important to understand, when a person understands this third point, then all questions that might come from atheists or disbelievers with regards to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may easily be defeated and may easily be understood. And this third point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Arabic term, is wajibul wujud. And to explain this in English, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his existence is necessary. He has necessary existence. Which means that it is not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not exist. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not exist, then nothing would exist. Because then the existence of anything would not make any sense. It is necessary that there is one being, that is one God, who was always there, who always will be there, and he created everything, and he was not created by anybody. Otherwise, if we do not have this element, then we come to what is known as a logical fallacy. Because it goes back to the old discussion of the chicken or the egg. Which one came first? Chicken or the egg? So the beginning of existence for every single being. For example, we came from our fathers and they came from their parents all the way to the first man. Where did Adam alayhi salam come from? So then the beginning of existence of every single being has to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, nothing makes sense. Now, some people say that, no, God was also created. Na'udhu billah, some people say that God was also created. Okay, God was created by whom? They say another God. Okay, so where did this first God come from? Oh, he was created as well. So he said, who was he created? He was created by another God. And then it continues and continues and continues. And then at the end, if you say that, okay, no, that this God that created all of these gods does not exist, then that comes back. How can we explain the existence of anything? So to explain the existence of anything and everything, we have to understand the concept of wajibul wujud, necessary existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only way we can truly understand the existence of the entire universe, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always there. And then one day he decided to create, and then he created the whole universe, and he created humans, and he created the mountains, and he created the world, and everything within it. When a person understands this, then all arguments with regards to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are solved. Without the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing would make sense. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wajibul wujud. He is necessary existent. Next we have the word Ahad. Ahad means one. And many times in the Arabic language, we also have the word wahid for one, which is possibly something that we might be more familiar with. So the ulama here have put our discussion, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not use the word wahid? Why did he use the word ahad? Wahid also means one. Ahad also means one. So the reason the ulama bring out, the reason is, and here we are going more linguistic, from a, looking at the matter from a linguistic perspective. So the linguists say that wahid is a word used for an element. However, it's possible that this element is made up of multiple components. And that possibility is there. And within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this possibility is not there. It's not possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be made up of multiple components. Otherwise, we end up with what the Christians said, that God, Son of God and the Holy Spirit, and then three in one, and one makes three. And then we end up with that whole discussion, which creates a lot more confusion as well. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and He is not made up of multiple components. And here the difference between Ahad and Wahid comes, is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Ahad. The linguists say, the ulama who are specialists in language, they say that Ahad is a word, is a name of one component, one element that cannot be split up or is not made up of multiple parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He is not made up of multiple parts. He is not a group of people in power. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And that's it. And this is how the ulama explained the word Ahad. Allahu Samad. Allah is independent. As-Samad in Urdu, they translate as Beniyaz. In English, it is translated as independent. However, this translation does not fully justify the true meaning of As-Samad. Independence means, when we say a person is independent, we normally take that to mean that this person does not need anybody. However, the quality of As-Samad in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends beyond this. And the extension is that not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need nobody, but everybody needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So As-Samad actually has two meanings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs nobody, and everybody needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to say Allah is independent here is the closest meaning that comes to mind. However, it does not fully justify the meaning of As-Samad. And so we should have that understanding as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need us. Some people come across this question that why did Allah create us then? Why did Allah create us? If Allah doesn't need us, why did He create us? Some people say that, oh, Allah created us because He needs us. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our ibadah and our worship. Allah is a samad. Allah needs nothing. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us was because of His quality of mercy. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah created us and He gave us existence, and He gave us life, and He gave us so many favors, and He gave us a set of rules which we follow, we will be blessed with eternal bliss in Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. And so this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. It was the quality of mercy within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, through which Allah decided to create us and bless us with so much. لم يلد ولم يولد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not born, nor does He give birth. Allah does not give birth. لم يلد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give birth. ولم يولد. Nor was He born. This verse is in answer to when the not disbelievers asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that describe the family tree of your Lord. So, you know, the Christians, they claimed that Hazrat Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam was the son of Allah, na'udhu billah. And the Jews claimed that Hazrat Uzair alayhi salatu wa salam was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. So, Islam comes and dispels all of this. No, none of this is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no sons. Some disbelievers claimed that the angels were the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to confirm and to reiterate that all of this is incorrect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone. He is high above everybody else. He is alone. There is no one like him. He doesn't have any parents, nor does he have any children. Everything besides Allah is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this surah really establishes this point and really stamps the key elements of our aqidah and of our belief with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any biological connection with the creation. Allah has no biological connection with his creation. Allah is completely different. Allah is above and alone. You know, some groups of disbelievers, they claim that certain creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are on the same level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the Shias, in some of their books they have written, na'udhu billah, that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala has a place on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is, you know, like, he has certain qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for example, they claim that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala he has ilmul ghayb, he has the knowledge of the unseen. He has all knowledge of the past and the future and the present and all knowledge in existence today. He has it. No, this is wrong. This is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And some sections of Muslims who are misguided also claim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this quality as well. Again, this is untrue, and no, this is a quality that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is mentioned many times in the Holy Quran. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one part of the Holy Quran, La ya'lamuha illa hu. The ilmul ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen, nobody possesses this knowledge except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to understand that overall this surah, it describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to summarize, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all things. He possesses all qualities of excellence. He is free from all defects. He always existed. He exists today and he will always exist in the future. He has knowledge of all things. He is completely independent from us, and we are completely dependent on him. And this summarizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position should be within our aqidah and our belief. And so this is also why the surah is called Surah Al-Ikhlas. Ikhlas means sincerity. And if a person really understands these beliefs with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practically puts these beliefs into his life, he will have true sincerity. Because if you genuinely believe that Allah is all-powerful, Allah is the creator of all things, Allah is independent of us, and we are completely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing that we can do without it being dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from breathing to eating to sleeping to earning, and whatever it might be, we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And so when a person truly, truly understands this, and he truly believes this in his heart, then every action that he does, he will do only and solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he will become a true mukhlis, and he will have true sincerity in his life. And this is, the scholars say, the many scholars say, this is why this surah is called Suratul Ikhlas. That if a person brings these qualities into his life, then he will have true sincerity. In the final verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no equal. Has no equal. Just to finish off with a few virtues of this surah. One day, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, that Umar Sahaba, everybody come and gather into the masjid. So those Sahaba who could gather and who could come, they came. And once the Sahabas had got together, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that I am going to recite a third of the Qur'an to you. I am going to recite a third of the Qur'an to you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited Suratul Ikhlas. And he said that this is a third of the Qur'an. Whoever recites this surah will receive a reward for reciting a third of the Qur'an. That's why we are often told that when a person passes away, we should recite Suratul Ikhlas 3 times and send it upon their soul, and they will receive the reward of an entire Qur'an. Such an amazing blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in the space of maybe 15 to 20 seconds, we can not only receive the reward for the entire reciting the entire Qur'an, which would normally take a good few hours, but we can also send the equivalent reward to our deceased and loved ones. Such a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith narrated by the Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah has brought, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever reads Suratul Ikhlas and Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq and Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas every morning and every evening, it will be enough for him. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said kafahu. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that it will protect him from all difficulties, from every form of evil, if a person prays Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falak, and Suratul Nas in the morning and in the evening, then it will protect him. In one hadith that Imam Ibn Hibban rahimullah has brought on the authority of our revered and respected mother, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that one day a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala an, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love Kulhu Allahu Ahad. He said, I love Kulhu Allahu Ahad. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that Hubbuka iyahu yudkhiluka al-jannah. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam, that your love for Kulhu Allahu Ahad will enter you into Jannah. Such a beautiful thing. The Sahabi is coming and he's expressing his love for the surah, Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And this is the one, in finally, one last hadith narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah and also Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Both of them have narrated this hadith on the authority of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who says that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent some Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmeen on an expedition. And he made one of the Sahabi their leader. And how the custom was that the leader would always lead the salah. The leader of the commander of the group was also the imam. That was his part of his duties. And so, you know, the imamah is a great, you know, it's a great honor to lead the salah. You know, when we are, we have chosen someone as an imam, they are our representative in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should give that level of love and respect to the a'immah, to our imams. Unfortunately, these days, sometimes our imams are seen as mere employees. And it's a very relevant issue these days. No. Our imams are our leaders. They are our representatives in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a very serious matter. When we are doing the most important thing in our daily lives, which is to read salah, they are our representatives in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not respect them, and if we do not love them, and we do not show them the respect that they deserve, how is our namaz going to be accepted in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It makes no sense. It is incumbent upon every single one of us to love, to rever, to respect, and to honor the imam. So moving on, the commander of this group of sahaba, he used to lead the salah. And he had a habit that every rak'ah he would pray, along with whichever surah he had chosen, he would read Surah Al-Ikhlas as well. And you know, the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they found this a little bit strange. And when they returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they mentioned this to Huzur Pak alayhi salatu wa sallam, that you know, our Imam, he would do this in every rak'ah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Saluhu. Ask him, why did he used to do this? So they asked him that, you know, why did you used to do this? So he said that, لِأَنَّهُ صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ. He said that the qualities of Ar-Rahman are mentioned within this surah. And I love to remember and to, you know, mention these qualities. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, said to the sahaba, that tell him that because of his loving of remembering the Sifat al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves him. Such a beautiful hadith, such a beautiful hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the Qur'an. You know, our love for the Qur'an can take us to very high places, you know, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we show love for the Qur'an. And, you know, there was a story of one person who passed away and he was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person didn't even know how to read the Qur'an. They said that what he used to do was he was illiterate, as in he couldn't read the Quran, but he used to take the Mus'haf and he used to open it and he used to put his fingers on the words without being able to read them. And he used to say, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi. This is the speech of my Allah. This is, and with so much love, you know the famous story of Bishri Hafi Rahimahullah. He was a drunkard. He used to spend all his time in the pub and he was always drunk all the time. And one day he was walking and he saw a piece of paper which had Allah's name on, or it had Bismillah on, I can't recall. And he saw the paper and he lifted it up and he said, you know, this is the name of Allah. And he lifted it up and he took it home and he dusted it off and he put perfume on it and he kissed it, put it to his heart, you know, with so much love, and he put it in a high place. This is the kalam, this is the name of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says he went to sleep at night and he had a dream. There was a voice that said to him, Oh Bishr, today you have honored our name. Your name will now be honored till the day of Qiyamah. He said he woke up and his whole life changed. You know, he did tawbah, did istighfar, and he became one of the greatest saints to live. And today his name is mentioned in the books of the ulama who mention how, you know, how he became a great saint. and his name is mentioned with great reverence. And that is evidence in itself that there was a time he was just a drunk person. Well, he respected Allah's name. So Allah said that we're going to honor you now. So our love for the Holy Quran can really, really take us to very, very high places in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a true love for the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a true understanding, the correct understanding of the Holy Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.